This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on the Ides of March, March 15th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll meet the owner of a suburban deli with a special recipe for St. Patrick's Day in our next segment. But right now, the average tax refund is more than $3,000. Let's look at ways to put it to work with Carolyn McClanahan, founder of Life Planning Partners in Jacksonville, Florida. Carolyn, thank you for joining us today. Before we talk about what you can do with the with your tax refund, if you have a tax refund of $3,000, which is the average tax refund, is that too much? I mean, you're basically someone once described a tax refund as an interest-free loan to Uncle Sam. If you're getting $3,000 back, should you change your withholding?
Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, it's back when interest rates were super low, it wasn't such a big deal because you weren't making much money on that cash anyway. But now with interest rates so great, if you're getting big refunds, you need to think about changing your withholding. But instead of just going, getting a bigger paycheck and going to spend that money, make sure you're using it very thoughtfully.
And a lot of people, if you get a refund of $1,000 or more, you could see this as a little bit of an extra windfall over the course of a year. And you may do that to fund things that you like, but maybe you could use that refund to put your finances on a stronger footing.
Oh, absolutely. So first off, I think some people just psychologically like getting a refund. They don't care that they're giving Uncle Sam a tax-free loan. But and when they get that refund, it's so important to do, you know, I used to be a doctor and became a financial planner, so I love using the term triage, how you use your money. If you have high interest credit card loans, pay those off. Just like take every bit of that refund, pay those down, because you're probably going to charge them back up anyway if you're walking around with credit card debt and having to use that credit card. But pay off those high interest loans and then think about socking money away, like in your solo, if you have a Roth IRA, that's a great place to put money and invest it. So there's a lot of good things you can do with that cash.
And there's a create or add to an emergency fund, which is especially relevant because a couple of times a year you hear about the studies where they say that X number of Americans cannot cover an emergency of more than $200 or $400. And don't become a statistic. Set up that emergency fund so you can cover the $400 emergency.
Oh, you're exactly right. And again, with interest rates being so high, you're making good money on that money if you put it in a high yield money market account. You can even put your emergency fund in a Roth IRA, because if you do have an emergency, you can always pull it back out of the Roth without any penalty. And if you end up not having an emergency, that money gets to grow tax-free in that Roth for the rest of your life.
And the other one is, why not just use that that refund to make an extra payment on your mortgage? It's just you're just one step closer to being free and clear.
No, that's exactly right. Now, if you have one of the newer mortgages, you know, with interest rates now being 6% or so, that's a great idea. But if you have a mortgage still back, some people have mortgages that are still like at 2% to 3%, I would actually probably put it in a savings account because you're making 5% on that. But it ends up being a wash. But and whatever, if it makes you more comfortable to decrease that debt, that's great. If not, make sure you put it in a savings account.
Carolyn McClanahan, founder of Life Planning Partners in Jacksonville, Florida, thank you for joining us today. In our next segment, this Entrepreneur Friday, we highlight a business serving up traditional deli food in the western suburbs.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. In this segment, we're speaking with the owner of a suburban business that's getting ready for its biggest day of the year. We welcome in Mark Goodman, owner and CEO of Schmaltz Deli, 3011 Ogden Avenue in Lisle. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And as we get into the St. Patrick's Day weekend, we usually talk about the impact on bars and restaurants that serve things like shepherd's pie. But Mark, if you're in the brisket business, and you certainly are, this has got to be prime time for you as well.
Oh, it absolutely is. A pleasure to be here. Yeah, we've been in business for 20 years, and St. Patrick's Week and St. Patrick's Day in particular is our busiest time of the year. No question. We gear up to another level and more for this weekend.
What is the history and the heritage of Jewish delicatessens? Because you see them obviously everywhere in New York City. Manny's on the near west side of Chicago is the last man standing in what used to be a heavily Jewish neighborhood about a century ago. And what is the importance of Jewish delicatessens? What's the history there, and what are you trying to carry on?
Well, we're definitely trying to carry on tradition. David Sachs wrote a book about Save the Deli, and it's around the country. Just you don't have as many family members that are able to continue on the tradition. And unfortunately, with the passing of many elderly people, it becomes a less and less known. And we're certainly trying to be part of that revolution to modernize and continue that tradition.
You know, a brisket especially, it's hard work. It's a long, labor-intensive process. And what is it, without spoiling any secret recipes you may have, Mark, but what makes a good corned beef brisket in your mind?
Well, it's definitely the brine. It's definitely the quality of the meat. And it's definitely how you cook it, and it's definitely how you slice it. Put that all together, and you got a great product. You know, anybody can try it, but it takes all of those intangibles and really having the patience and understanding how it's done.
St. Patrick's Day, of course, falls on March 17th every year, so it's not a surprise. And how much planning goes into making sure you are fully stocked with corned beef when March 17th rolls around?
We start some things 6 months ahead, but certainly 90 days out, we start getting serious about it. And the last month before is when we start pulling all the triggers, particularly with the marketing and particularly with making sure that our vendors are prepared and that we have everything we need in-house to be able to handle all of the traffic and expectation from our customers.
And I think it also says something about America, Mark, this melting pot of cultures and traditions, that a Jewish deli can also have one of its biggest days of the year serving an Irish holiday.
It is kind of interesting, isn't it? Yeah, I think it's because we have the best corned beef in the area. We think so, and obviously many of our customers do. And we also have an association with West Suburban Irish, for example. They have their Irish Fest in September, and we were their prime corned beef vendor at Irish Fest. So corned beef is synonymous with many cultures, certainly with the Irish, certainly with the Jewish population. But when you've got a good product, which we fortunately feel we do and many others do, that's why the crossover is very, very easy.
6 months of preparation for St. Patrick's Day. What does this mean to your bottom line on a yearly basis?
This is the biggest month of the year. This is the biggest week of the year. And what we look for is, and certainly it's our largest cost of the year as well. What we look for is a springboard for attracting new customers who may not have known about us, you know, continuing the tradition and just expanding the business. You know, we recently started this year sit-down dining. This is the first year in 20 where we actually have that, and the first year in 20 where we have our liquor license for beer and wine. So a lot of things are changing, a lot of new customers coming in this way this week, and we hope to gain many, many more that will continue with us past St. Patrick's Day.
Well, let you get back to the corned beef. Mark Goodman, owner and CEO of Schmaltz Deli, 3011 Ogden Avenue, West Suburban Lyle. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, the Sportsbook at Wrigley Field, welcoming bettors just in time for March Madness.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The DraftKings Sportsbook at Wrigley Field is now taking bets, and the timing couldn't be better. Let's get the latest from Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Danny, thank you for joining us today. Say it so. Kyle Long will be the first person to place a bet at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, well, he was there this morning for this grand opening event for the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wrigley Field. It's the addition that many people have seen over the past 9 months in the southeast corner of the stadium. And just as of late last week, the operators of the sportsbook got a license from the Illinois Gaming Board. So after 9 months of just serving up food and drinks and having people basically use it as a restaurant and bar, it's now taking bets. It's new thing in the Wrigley Field experience.
Now, this is the sports book at Wrigley Field, but technically it is a separate entity from the ballpark. Is that correct?
It is. There's actually a rule in Major League Baseball that prevents sports books from operating where a game ticket is required for entry. So it is adjacent to and attached to the stadium, but there's only one way in, one way out along Addison. And so it's not something for people who are inside the stadium at games, but you know, those who are going to Wrigley Field for a ball game this summer or really any time around the year, they can go in and pop into the sports book and place a bet in person.
So you could potentially stop in before or after, but you can't pop in during the game and go back to your seat.
Correct.
And then what kind of a revenue source is this for the Cubs? Because we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the beginning of Project 1060. I mean, they started tearing the ballpark apart after the 2014 season, and that was when the renovation project began in earnest. This is just one more revenue stream for the ball club.
Yeah, and it's, you know, to be specific, they'll tell you, well, it's not for the ball club, it's for the owners of the ball club, the Ricketts family, which are separate from, of course, the team. And this is revenue that, you know, the Ricketts family is focused on generating revenue around the ballpark that is not directly going to the team, and therefore it's not subject to revenue sharing from Major League Baseball. And so this is a way to capitalize, one of many ways the Ricketts family is capitalizing on making Wrigleyville an area that you want to come even when the Cubs are not in town or not in season.
Is this something that, you know, given the ongoing stadium drama with the White Sox and the Bears, both considering new locations that will allow the ownership group, at the very least, to access new revenue streams, is this something that White Sox and Bears officials will be watching about a potential potential business opportunities at their new facilities if they were to come to fruition?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think having sports books on site are things that all teams are. It's a top priority. That's one of the reasons the Bears are focused on trying to find a stadium that works better, different revenue rights for them. The Sox as well. Of course, you have the Bulls and Blackhawks with a sports book that's still awaiting a license over at the United Center. And this is just part of the new way of going to a sporting event now, ever since 2019 with Illinois legalizing sports betting.
Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Entrepreneur Friday, taking an idea into the Shark Tank and then to the real world. We'll talk about that coming up.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Murder charges have been filed against a man accused in the stabbing death of a young boy in Chicago this week. The locally based National Association of Realtors appears ready to settle a series of lawsuits against it. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We meet the co-founder of a Midwest company making waves with its machine for producing nut and other plant-based milks. WBBM Business. The markets are lower. The Dow is down 218 points. NASDAQ down 165. The S&P 500 is down 36. 45 degrees right now at O'Hare under partly sunny skies at 1231, topping our news at the half hour. Charges are now filed against a 37-year-old man accused in a domestic attack on the north side this week that left an 11-year-old boy dead and his pregnant mother with critical injuries. Crosetti Brand is accused of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, and other felonies. This is Chicago Police Chief of Detectives Antoinette Ursitti.
During the investigation, detectives learned the 33-year-old female victim was in a prior relationship with this offender more than 15 years ago. This offender has a history of domestic abuse, and as the superintendent mentioned, is a convicted felon who has had previous order of protection violation convictions.
The Cook County Medical Examiner reports that Jaden Perkins died of a stab wound to the chest. The Chicago-based National Association of Realtors has agreed to settle a series of lawsuits by paying $418 million in damages. Under the agreement, the trade group will also eliminate its rules on commissions. The New York Times reports lawyers for the Realtor organization approved the agreement this morning. It's expected to be filed within weeks and will need federal court approval to become final. It's 12:32. As the noon business hour continues, stocks are lower this afternoon. Let's see what's moving the markets with Gary Kaltbaum, President, Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online at GaryK.com. Gary, thank you for joining us today. It seems like the losing streak will stretch into a second day. And what's weighing on the markets this week?
Oh, my goodness. 2 days down. What will we do?
What'll we talk about, Gary? What'll we talk about? We need content.
Yeah. Look. Two things. Number one, technology stocks where I live, way overdue. A lot of stocks have gone vertical, so way overdue. And I think you're getting some of that comeuppance now, helped by Adobe, which is an important software stock, down 82. But also a couple other little things to be watching for your listeners. Number one, I'm going to give out a number. On the 10-year yield, 4.354%. If yields go above that, that would be a breakout above range, and markets have not liked higher yields. The other part of the equation, we've had very slowly but surely move up in oil prices. And oil prices and yields going up will provide some headwinds, and I think that's what you're seeing here. The good news is if you own oil stocks, they're going up. And really, the broad market's okay. The market's just due to settle down, relax, take it easy. It's kind of sort of been a little bit too easy for the last week.
I was going to say, to put things in perspective, the Dow is still trading still safely above the 38,000 range, and the S&P 500 is above 5,000. So we're still substantially ahead of where we were. But you bring up a very good point about yields creeping up once again and the price of oil creeping above $80 a barrel for the first time in a long time. And when it comes to headwinds, does that have the potential to either knock down this latest flare-up of inflation we've been seeing or add to it?
Add to it, especially on the oil price front, and especially if the Fed does something stupid again, and they're very well known to do that. You know, look, the talk of inflation coming down, it has. but the rate of inflation has gone down. Every one of your listeners know when you go to the supermarket, you're still paying up big time. Insurance, health, auto, home is in the trees, as well as many other things, used cars, you name it. So that's still out there. So the Fed hopefully doesn't do something stupid. And that's why I keep saying, just watch the free market. It's been doing a darn good job without the Fed doing too many things. And again, if yields spike higher towards 5%, it's going to tell you something. And by the way, let's not forget, this administration is proposing a $7.3 trillion budget, which is 66% higher than just 2019, and guarantees $2 trillion deficits for the next 10 years. And that could be a little worry for the bond market also.
We do have a Fed policy meeting next week, and it seems like investors are growing more comfortable with the idea of maybe 3 interest rate cuts or possibly no interest rate cuts, as maybe higher for longer just becomes the way of the world.
Well, again, I think they're overrated. If the Fed lowers rates a quarter or a half or three quarters, I got news for you. When you buy a home, it's the 10-year yield. It's the actual free market. It's not necessarily the Fed. Now, they do control some things, but I just think they're kind of sort of off the playing field. The free markets have done a great job for 100 and some odd years without somebody pushing buttons, and I am in hopes they push less buttons going forward and let things be. The big issue again, and I can't state this loud enough, if yields keep going up, and oil prices keep going up, that's the big 1-2 punch. That is the fundamental problem for profits, margins, and then the valuation on stocks. So far, we're A-OK.
Gary Kaltbaum, President Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. Find him online at GaryK.com. Thanks for the perspective. Coming up next, an Entrepreneur Friday, a Midwest businesswoman making it easy to access plant-based milk.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. In this segment, we're taking a dive into the business of plant-based milk. We welcome in Alicia Long, co-founder and CEO of Nutter, based in Galena, Ohio, which is not too far away from Columbus. Alicia, thank you for joining us today. And where to begin with your story? I mean, you went through Shark Tank, you said no, but this journey begins in China.
Yes. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Rob. Glad to be here. So yes, the story came from when I was pregnant with my son, and I was actually born and raised in China, and my mother actually made homemade plant-based milk. So I really wanted to make it available for everybody to be able to drink very nutritious plant-based milk, and that's how the story started.
Now, what is the, for lack of a better word, what's the old-fashioned way of making plant-based milk, and how does Nutter speed up that process or bring it into the 21st century?
Yeah, so historically, the way that my mother did was actually you have to soak the almonds the night before and then blend it, strain it with a cheesecloth, and sometimes you have to boil it for soy milk or rice milk. So just a whole day process. And as a busy mother, and I certainly didn't have the time. So my husband is actually a mechanical engineer by trade. So he actually helped engineered basically have a heating element on the bottom of the machine. And so it blends and heat at the same time. So pulverize and liquefy very efficiently.
So this sounds like a Keurig machine, but for making plant-based milk.
You got it. Yeah, exactly. So our ethos is to be able to make a nutritious plant-based milk with a touch of a button. So basically, we also have, in addition to the machine, we also have a different line of products, which is Nutter Blend. So it provides all different kinds of nutrition that your body needs and also provides very delicious flavors like strawberry and chocolate and vanilla.
We're talking, it's Entrepreneur Friday. We're talking with Alicia Long, co-founder and CEO of Nutter. Now, I think, you know, when you talk about, okay, this is like the Keurig for plant-based milk, once you have that very pithy description of the new product, you're halfway there, or maybe you're 75% of the way there, that really kind of easy way to sum up a new invention.
No, thank you. Yeah, certainly. I think it is going to change the way that people, you know, consume their milk. You know, historically, it's been dairy milk. And I think the market is changing. And I think the trend is that a lot of consumers are, you know, consuming more plant-based milk. And the way that you want it to consume the milk, especially in the morning for your creamer, for your coffee, and it definitely needs to and deserves to be very nutritious. So, yeah, certainly we opened up the doors and then make it more convenient for everybody.
Now, you were on season 14 of Shark Tank. How did you get the attention of the producers?
I think with a little bit of luck and social media, and certainly it's easy to find us. So I think the idea was interesting enough for them to really select us, and we're fortunate enough to get the chance to talk with the producer and also get the chance to meet with the sharks. So that was a great experience.
Now, you got an offer from one of the sharks and turned it down.
yes. So Daniel Lubezki was certainly interested, and I think at the same time we had other investors, and we couldn't justify the valuation, but you know, had to walk away from the deal. But it was really good, you know, exposure for us, and certainly grateful. And we got a lot of opportunities, and certainly Starbucks was one of them. So we are very fortunate to be selected for the spring collection for Starbucks stores. Actually, will be available in Chicago, the Roastery, the big four-story, I think it's called a Starbucks Reserve Store in Chicago.
And not only that, Nutter is going to be in Chicago at McCormick Place starting on Sunday. You will have a display at the Houseware Show, which is always, it's a fun show. I don't know if you can go as a member of the general public because there's all sorts of industrial secrets concerns. But if you manage to go in, you basically see the future on display. The home of 2034 is on display at McCormick Place this weekend.
Yes, definitely stop by our booth. Our booth number is N7552, and we are actually launching different colors and different sizes of the Nutter machine, and we'll love to have visitors there.
Well, if you are a vendor, this is industry only, but if you are a vendor and you're planning on going to the Houseware Show, stop by, say hello to Alicia Long, co-founder and CEO of Nutter, based in the Columbus, Ohio area. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, let's take a contrarian view of the market.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's been a lot of optimism on Wall Street lately, but that could be a warning sign for stocks. Joining us to explain is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And I've talked to a lot of economists, a lot of market analysts, and just a lot of people who observe the world of finance on the Noon Business Hour since 2016. And exuberant is not a word I would use to describe most of them. And yet, they're pretty optimistic these days about the trajectory of the economy and the trajectory of the markets. And to you, or to the contrarian, that's a red flag.
It is indeed. I do consider myself a contrarian, as you mentioned. And the reason is that the stock market goes up if the news in coming weeks and months is better than we already expect, because everything that we already expect is collectively reflected in the stock market's level today. So it's not that if the economy ends up doing well that the stock market goes up. We already expect the economy to be doing quite well. So, of course, that's why the stock market has already gone up. But for it to continue to go up, the news has to be even better than what we already are expecting on balance. And so that's the reason why contrarian analysis ends up working, is that it's not that the market has some sort of contrarian aspect inherently. It's rather that because of human nature, when you're already expecting the best, the most likely course of action is to be disappointed as opposed to being even more excited and exuberant than you were already.
Yeah, not to get too philosophical, I mean, this is the case in investing and probably in life in general. There's a finite amount of good news and there's a finite amount of bad news, basically.
Well, that's right. And indeed, we track this very carefully. Every day we track the sentiment among around 100 short-term market timers on Wall Street. And so we can tell you on average what they're recommending to their clients today and whether that's more or less bullish and optimistic than they were the day before or a week ago or a month ago or what have you. And right now we're close to extreme levels. And in fact, there was one day in the last month where there was more bullishness. I really should say more exuberance among these timers than at any point in the last 22 years that I've been tracking it daily. So that's a lot of bullishness and exuberance.
And then for people who want to get in on it now, it seems like almost it might be too late that this is kind of the peak of where we're at.
Well, yeah, the only danger is that it turns out that, you know, the market continued going up for a while longer after you've reached a point of exuberance. And so, you know, it's a really difficult call. I would say, yes, in answer to your question, I think it is a high risk time to put your money in the market. I think the best advice is to sort of pick a period of time and divide up your money in four or five segments and then invest one fourth or one fifth on regular intervals so that if the market keeps going up, you make some money. But if it ends up going down, you haven't put all your money in at the top.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.